So welcome to week two of our two-part introduction to Ksuvos. After the introduction that we did last week in general about learning Ksuvos and the terms and so on, the history of the Ksuba, we launched into the question of who invented the Ksuba? Where exactly does this come from? And we started out with the position that it is De'orah. Then we started to see sources that indicated it is De'rabanan. And what I want to be able to do today is to go into the hybrid view that we started to articulate already last time. There were hints of it in the sources that we saw, to talk about what exactly that means, why there would be a hybrid, where do we see analogous cases in other areas of halacha, and then if there's time at the end, go into a small point from Daf Beis that actually starts us on the Masechta. I'm not going to get into the Kadesh discussion, unfortunately. With the time that I have left, I wouldn't be able to do more than read that Rambam, and that would be basically it. But we'll see if we even have time left. So in terms of the De'oraisas, we started out by noting that you do have this odd term in the Torah, mohar, where the Torah says, in the case of seduction of a na'ara betula, that the seducer has a duty of mohor yimharena lo le'isha. He should be, I don't know, mohar her, somehow. Which we said refers to some kind of marriage act. The event that the father refuses or she refuses, then instead he pays kimohar ha-betulot, like the mohar of betulot. So what exactly does that mean? Mohar seems to be some kind of a payment that's normally given to a betula when marrying her. And we saw also a confirming source for this idea of mohar in the story of Dina, when Shechem tells Yaakov's family, harbu alai ma'od mohar umatan, insist that I give mohar and gifts. So one view was, in fact, that that's what we're talking about, that mohar is ksuba. We saw it in the Mechilta, we saw it in Rashi. We had support for the idea in terms of the Pilegesh, where the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a Pilegesh, which is a biblical phenomenon, is without Kiddushin and without Ksuba. That was the addition that we were working with in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph. And how could that be unless Ksuba is a De'oraisa concept? The Rambam seems to support the idea that Ksuba is De'oraisa as well, famously in terms of his koteret, his heading for Hilchos Ishus, where he says the mitzvah is livol isha b'ksuba b'kiddushin. Also in terms of his definition of a kedesha, where in the Sefer HaMitzvos he says a kedesha, a relationship that is promiscuous at its core, does not have a ksuba. And again, it's a de'oraisa thing. And the language in the ksuba we talked about also seems to indicate de'oraisa, because it says de'oraisa. The money that I owe you, that is due to you, de'chazi lechi mid de'oraisa. We then saw, on the other hand, that the Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Yud Amud Aleph really makes it sound like Ksuvas de'rabanan. Definitely some aspects of ksuba, some of the conditions, the lien on the fellow's property, are definitely de'rabanan. That is unequivocal. But in the Gemara in of itself, we had a machlokes with the Chachamim versus Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Chachamim saying the ksuba is de'rabanan, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel seeming to take the view that it is de'oraisa. It came up in a few different ways. It came up regarding the question of what type of materials you use to pay the ksuba, the ability to pay with ziburis, with the inferior quality of properties, indicates that it's de'rabanan. We talked about the issue of Moos Kaputkia, the idea that if they married in one place and then got divorced or he died in another place, the currency that you use is going to be the inferior currency of both places, and that indicates that this is a derabanan obligation, it's a rabbinic obligation, rather than a biblical one. We saw Ramban take the view that ksuba is derabanan, arguing against Rashi in all those places in the Chumash where Rashi says, yeah, this refers to ksuba in a de'oraisa context. Ramban says, no, it doesn't. It refers to gifts, siblonos. And as far as the Nusach in our Ksuba, the last thing that we did was to note the position of the Rush, who said that when we say in the Ksuba, the Chazi Lechi Mi De'oraisa, it means the currency that we use is De'oraisa level currency. It's the eight times regular currency from the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Yud Aleph. That was what we had said. So just to wrap up the positions that say, in fact, the Ksuba is De'rabanan, we have a general rule, I think I mentioned it last week, that when Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel expresses his opinion in a Mishnah, we follow him, right? Other than three cases, Ari Vitzidon Raya Achrona. But other than that, we follow the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So I might have argued we should follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel here. He says Ksuba is De'oraisa, therefore we say Ksuba is De'oraisa. However, I noted for you on the sheet, I brought you a Rush in Bava Basra, in Source Aleph, who says, in their context, it's a completely different discussion. He says, "V'les alid Rav Shimon Gamliel." We don't follow Rav Shimon Gamliel in our case here. The Amar Rav Rachanan or Biyochanan, Komakim Shana Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mishnasena Valach Kamosa Chutz Me'ar Vitzin of Rayach Rona. We do have a principle that we always follow Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah. However, V'hadin Klal Alav Davkahu. Okay, it's a nice rule, but it's not an always rule. D'lo Amar Alach Rav Shimon Gamliel Ela Ad De'ika Taima. There has to be a reason. There has to be a logical argument. It's not simply that whatever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we are now going to bow and obey. And the Tashbetz applies that in Source Beis. Chelek Beis, Tshuva Kuf Samach Beis. He's talking about our issue. He's talking about Ksuba. And he says, "V'tzarfa Ksuba Ashkenaz heim noagin kein." In Germany, they do this. And I added in brackets, the "this" he means is to write the word Mida Oraisa in the Ksuba. Rabbeinu Tamza Kostev Shem Sumchen Av Rishu Begamliel. As we saw in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says that's because they're following Rishu Begamliel, who says Ksuba is De Oraisa. And then he says, in his second paragraph, Rabbeinu Chananel Zalkasav, De Lo Kamalan Bakar Rishu Begamliel. Rabbeinu Chananel says, we don't follow Rishu Begamliel. Why? Because Rav Nachman came along and he said, Ksuba is Isha's De Rabbanan. And remember, Rav Nachman is a Talmud of, who is Rav Nachman's Rebbe? Shmuel. Right? Rav Nachman's Rebbe is Shmuel. And Shmuel always wins Bedini on financial matters, and Rav Nachman always wins on financial matters. It's a chain. And then Rav Nachman's Talmud, I think, is Rava, who also has a habit of winning, other than in six cases. I think it's just a winning streak. that line. So Abaye is a Talmud of Rava and Rav Yosef. And Rava starts out as a Talmud of Abaye. However, there are a few cases that in the Gemara that seem to indicate that Rava also was a Talmud of Rav Nachman. I happen to be looking at that first different sugya earlier today. That's why it's in my head.
Because the story of Abaye Rava with her children, that is with Rava.
Yes. Now, definitely Abaye's Rebbe Muvhok is Rava and Rabbi Yosef. He's got both.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for sure. And we know that Rava starts out as a Talmud of Abaye in that relationship, and then he becomes Talmud Chaver. But in any case, he says Rav Nachman is going to win. Even though we have a rule of follow Shimon Gamliel, nonetheless, Rav Nachman is going to win, and he says it's the Rabbanan, like that Gemara in Ksuvah Daf Yud. And he says, V'kayim alan, alach Rav Nachman Bedini. There it is. V'chein b'chulei Talmuda amrinan Ksuvah de Rabbanan. And he says, don't you know Shas? It says Ksuvah de Rabbanan in all these places. And as far as that rule that the halacha always follows Rishon Gamliel, Kvar Kasev Hariv Zal Paraket Pashut Delo Samchina Anu Klala. The Rif says, yeah, we don't actually follow that rule. The Pliki Alei Demanda Kolal Hu Klala, because in the Gemara itself we find that they disagree with that rule. So the rule of follow Rishon Gamliel is only a rule until it's not a rule. And it's not a rule in our case. That's the idea. So this supports the idea that we are not going to follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, and we're going to in fact say Ksuba is Derabanan. Also, we noted that Tosfos on Daf Yud. Yeah, easy.
Something I just realized from now after last week's shir, they seem to only have given two real options for being Doraita. Either they're talking financially, or just the concept of the Ksuba itself is Doraita. We never mentioned the actual wording of the text being Doraita.
So the wording of the text can't be Doraita. The wording of the text cannot be De'oraisa. Because, well, aside from the fact that literally it's not there, but aside from that, it includes, you know, when I went through the sort of rapid-fire list of what's in the Ksuba, it includes things beyond Sher Ksus Ve'ona, that are, you know, Tanoi Beisdin, their enactments after. So yeah, no, you are correct. That we don't have that as a biblical text.
Apparently the machlokas at hand really whether or not there is a core or a source from the Torah for fact having Ksuba or not, that's the machlokas. The whole idea that Rabban were talking, okay, fine, that's true, I won't agree to that.
Right.
So then I don't understand.
So what we've been doing until now is floating the idea that there is a De'oraisa, that you have to pay a certain amount of money, and that payment ends up being, one way or another, a payment upon death of the husband or divorce. That's all we have right now. We do not have a source saying that Ksuba is 200 zuz.
This is the Mohar.
Yeah, this is the Mohar. Correct. We do have, there is that one weird thing, which some of the Mepharshim take time to talk about. I didn't bother to introduce it into the Shir. Yeah, the idea that the word almana for a widow hints at her ksuba being a mana. But please don't use that as a marker for anything. But in terms of this Tosos that's on Daf Yud, where Rabbeinu Tam says when we write De'oraisa in the Ksuba, that's because we're following Rosh Shimon Gamliel. Worth noting, take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes from a Shita Yeshana. He says in Source Gimel, "V'omer Rabbeinu Tam de'samchin Rosh Shimon Gamliel de'maskin per Basra u'maisila b'samoch tamanosla moskiputki adksav Ksuba De'oraisa v'kamal Rosh Shimon Gamliel ken kasu v'tosfos." And then he says, V'yesh li lomar, delav mishum desvir le Rabbeinu Tam da'alachek v'mishum begamliel kasav kain. It's not because, it's not that Rabbeinu Tam thinks that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's not what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Ela deparish to ha'olam nagu lichtov kain b'ksuba kidei lahachmir b'dinei ha'ksuba kidinei ha'olam v'samchu ad Rabbi Shimon Gamliel v'ilav ha'ad Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ha'yu kosvin kain afilu kidei lahachmir. People are strict as though it was a de'oraisa because we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who says it's de'oraisa. But it's not really that we believe ksuba is de'oraisa. It's people write in de'oraisa as though we were treating it as though we're strict as though it was de'oraisa because we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel who says it's de'oraisa. Yes, that sounds as strange to me as it does to you, Daniel. Yes, he's done.
What do you want to say, kedine ha'olam?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what he meant by that. That's why I glossed over it. I'm not sure. It might be. That's one way to read it for sure. I don't know. Every time I read through that Shita Mekubetzes, I look at those words and wonder what that means. Yeah. I don't know what he means with Kedine Olam, but it's possible he just means like people do. It really could mean that that's what he means.
Why would it say De'oraisa, not like Kedaraisa?
Yeah, no, it's very strange. It's very strange. It feels almost as much of a reach as the Rush's currency, which is De'oraisa currency, which also seems strange. I feel much more comfortable with the Rama's note that a lot of people just don't write me De'oraisa. You know, that would solve problems. I'm not about to erase it from the Ksuba, but a lot of others did. The Rambam himself, yeah, Daniel.
Why not erase it from Ksuba?
Because I am not messing with Ksuba. That's one of those things that I, as a good Ashkenazi, am not about to do. I'm going to leave
the Ksuba. Is there a specific reason to have a specific
Lashon? You should read the Nachla Shiva on Ksuba. Use the Bar Ilan version because it's easier. He has footnotes on literally every word. And all the nuances in every word. Like, when it says Mita O'Raisa, there's a footnote in the Nachla Shiva that some have it with one yud and some have it with two yuds. I am not messing with the Ksuba.
Right, it sounds like maybe they wanted, I don't know what happened back then, but maybe people didn't really want the Ksuba or they didn't want it. Maybe when Dine Ha'olam would be like whatever din they have in the world, and they had the right to write it. They could not do that without the Rishpah. So they were relying on the Shabbat to write the De'oraisa.
It could be. I just don't know. The Rambam, who we noted, you know, last time, and I mentioned briefly in the introduction, you know, has all these sources saying or indicating that it's De'oraisa. At the same time, in loads of places, he says, no, this is actually De'rabanan. So in Source Dalet, I underlined it for you, he says, Ve'in laksuba, he's talking about an anusa, as I put in the bracket there. There's no ksuba in her case. He says the reason why there's no ksuba for an anusa is because ksuba is a rabbinic enactment in order to avoid easy divorce for the husband, so that the husband will not divorce her on a whim. And here he can't divorce her at all, so unless she demands it. So therefore there's no reason for it. But I'm not talking about his specific halacha. I'm talking about the fact that he says the rabbis enacted ksuba for this purpose. It's pretty black and white. In Source Hay, the Rambam gives us, we're going to come back to this halacha later as well, the Rambam gives us the history of halachic marriage. Before Matan Torah, people could just decide they want to live together and then decide they want to separate from each other, and that was that. And that's what we call Kedesha. And he says, Leficha kol haboel isha l'shem znus below kidushin loke menatar mnei shaboel kedesha. Anytime he lives with her without kiddushin, that's znus. What he does not say is without ksuba. he doesn't list ksuba. Now, as we said last time, the Sefer HaMitzvos, he does mention ksuba, but in Hilchos Ishus, Aleph Dalid, he doesn't mention ksuba. It seems like ksuba is not there in the biblical definition of a kedesha. In Source Vav, in Hilchos Ishus, Perek Yud Halacha Zayin, he says explicitly, he's talking about ksuba and ksuba including the Tosefos, and he says, V'hachamim heim shetiknu ksuba le'isha kedesha, like, how much more did you want the Rambam to say to you? In Sur Zayin, Kvar Hodanu Shechachamim Tiknu Ksuba Leisha. In Halacha Ches, V'chei Mikule Ksuba Shetitol Isha Ksuba Sam and Apacha Shebem Abeos, which is a ruling that, we said, is consistent with Ksuba being Dirabanan. That's why we're Mekil in terms of the currency that can be used is to pay from the weaker currency between the place they were married and the place where the Ksuba is going to be collected. This is also the way that the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The ksuba is derabanan. Rather than go through the Shulchan Aruch for all of these different locations where the nafkaminas come up, I simply brought you the quote from the Beis Shmuel in Source Test, in which he says on Misha'arin Bezuze De'oraisa, when the Rama mentions that we use biblical level zuzin for the ksuba payment, mashma ksuba derabanan ela Misha'arin Bezuze De'oraisa, right, like the Rush. It's a derabanan payment, but we use zuzei d'oraisa. V'chein l'shitas kol haposkim sfira l'ksubas besula derabanan. V'chein pasak habeis Yosef v'darkei Moshe. The Beis Shmuel just tells you, this is an easy way to say it, that yeah, they all say derabanan. Of course, this raises serious problems with the Rambam's view. Above, we saw him say ksubas d'oraisa. The Megillas Esther on Sefer HaMitzvahs, lo sa'asei shin nun hei, says, yeah, the Rambam actually paskins that it's d'oraisa. And he notes this creates certain problems with the passages in Mishnah Torah that say it's derabanan. Okay. So now it sounds like Suba's derabanan. Yes, sir, Stephen.
Could it be that the Rambam is doing something similar to what it does with Tefillah, where there's a general deraisa obligation, but as refracted through a derabanan lens?
Yes, it is. And that's where we're going.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
he says that there's no ksuba for an anus. There should be some sort of a ksuba if it's deraisa. If it's just this rabbinic.
There should be some concept.
Yeah, right. But once this
right. So we're going to come back. We're going to come back to that question. So it sounds like ksuba is derabanan. But if it's really derabanan, once again, I need an answer to the question of what mohar is. What is mohar? Mohar yimrata lo leisha, mohar habesulos. What exactly is going on in the Torah? And the truth of the matter is, there are more problems with this than just what do you do with mohar and the Rambam's apparent internal contradictions. Within the view that ksuba is in fact derabanan, right? So number one, what do I do with the Torah's term mohar? But if you take the idea that Ramban puts forth, that mohar refers to gifts, right? Then when Shem says, habu alai mohar umatan, right? Make me give a lot of mohar and matan. So matan is gifts. Yeah, so the Ramban tries to answer by saying, well, one is gifts to the family, the other one is gifts to her. I don't know how convincing that is to you. Within the view that it's de'oraisa, the language that Rosh Hashanah Gamliel used on Yud Amud Aleph is very strange. Right? The language that he used on Yud Amud Aleph when he said, Mikan Samchu Chachamim, to say that Ksubas Isha is Deoraisa on the Pasuk of Mohoyim Hareno Loli Isha, Mikan Samchu doesn't sound at all like it's Deoraisa. Mikan Samchu sounds like it's Derabanan, and I didn't invent that. Tosos invented that. If you take a look at Source Yud, Tosos and Sota Chavzayin Amud Aleph, the part I underlined. Afilu Rabbi Shuvi Gamliel, the Amar Perk Basra de Ksubas, Ksubas Isha de Oraisa, love Mamush de Oraisa, la Isla Smach mi de Oraisa. Kidam Rinan Hasan Perakama Mikan Samchu Chacham, and Luxubas Isha min HaTorah. They were so meich on it, but it's fundamentally a derabanan. So on my long drives in Bein Hazmanim, I listened to four shiurim by Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig on Ksuba Deoraisa Derabanan, just back to back to back to back, which was awesome. And look, we survived the drive. and that really framed a lot of the way that I look at this, and much of what I'm going to suggest is built on things that he said or just directly cribbing what he said, either one. He points out in his shiurim that Shmos Chaf Beis, right, the psukim regarding the seduction, The Gemara in Sanhedrin regarding Ksuba and Pilegesh, and the Rambam in his heading for Hilchos Ishus, all of those are doing a very strange thing by invoking Ksuba. Because they're invoking Ksuba as a defining characteristic of marriage, right? When you want to say to the Mefata, you seduced this girl, now you have a duty to marry her. Why is give her a Ksuba your language? Like, Ksuba's a payment. That's not the focus of marriage. The focus of marriage should be your usher, you know, there's an isser to other people, there are all sorts of very serious dinim that come up in the course of a relationship, there's sher ksus va'ona. Like, why did you choose ksuba payment as your definition of this guy's relationship with her going forward? When you talk about what a pilegesh is, I understand why you would stress in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there's no kiddushin. Right? Kiddushin is a big deal. But to say, oh, and there's no ksuba payment. Like, that's the definition of what makes her a pilegesh, the fact that there's no payment at the time that the marriage dissolves. Why would the Rambam, in his heading for Hilchos Ishus, live all Isha, b'ksuba v'kiddushin? I understand b'kiddushin. But ksuba, why is that a headline item?
Why not?
Because it's just a payment.
But this is what marriage was.
Well, that's the question. That's where we're going with it, is to suggest that ksuba means more than just a payment. That's where we're going. And that's where we're going to lead to this idea that the monetary amount is not really the focus. It's something else about ksuba that is the de'oraisa element. And then the Rabbanan are the ones who are filling in the details. That's where we're going with this idea. Izzy, you were going to say? Keep in mind, it doesn't say it for the Anusa. It's the Mefuta. It's the seduction case.
Yeah, exactly.
He treated her inappropriately once.
Exactly. Now, okay, you have to make it magical or fiduciary. Like, it's really nice, but like, if you care anything about Allah, you would have done this anyway the first time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now here's a way to either protect her or...
That's fine for Kiddushin, but Ksuba? So the third idea here, and everybody is sort of leading to this already, is that the concept of Ksuba is de'oraisa. The specific implementation in amount is de'rabbanan. So I happen to have given Shir a bunch of years ago on sort of, in general, the power of the Rabbanan in mitzvos. And I came up with a list then, which I brought you here in Source Yad Aleph, this bullet-pointed list of mitzvos where the mitzvah is de'oraisa, but it's up to the chachamim to establish the specifics. And it's sort of just drawn from everywhere. I actually didn't even have on here Rav Stevens' point about tefillah as a possibility, assuming you accept the idea that tefillah is de'oraisa and what exactly that means. Rambam, fine. But malacha on chol hamoed, based on the Gemara in Chagiga and the statement of the Magen Avram, the mitzvah of Shabbaton for Yom Tov, which we're going to come back to later, v'havdal arecha kamocha, right? It's a classic Rambam where he says to you that all the things that we think of as kor de'oraisa, mitzvos of chesed, are actually just, you know, implementations of v'havdal arecha kamocha, bikur cholim, nichum avelim, all of these things, he puts as derabbanan implementations, the specifics of muktzah, ona'a. We had, when we learned Onah in Beis Medrash, we went through a Asher Weiss on that. I didn't put the citation for it because it's one of those links that has Hebrew in it, and therefore it just comes out as gibberish and takes up five lines. Shoshone, I see your hand. Hang in there. Kavod Shabbos, the definition of what is Kavod Shabbos, or Binyamin Zilber in the Oz Nidbru talks about that again as a De'oraisa with the Rabbanan implementations. The list of which things are trefos, according to the Chazon Ish. The circumstances in which one is putter from sukkah because you are al haderech, or it's not kein taduru. Like, there are many mitzvos where the Torah just gives you do X, and then the Rabbanan tell you what exactly X is and how it is meant to be implemented. And yeah, this is a partial list. There definitely are others. Sorry?
Tefillin.
What do you mean tefillin? Tefillin is al hamashem misinai for its things. That's not the Rabbanan. Halamash Mizinai means, as far as I understand it, as a general rule, this is something Jews have always done, even though there is no pasuk for it. This is what we've been doing since Moshe's time. that would be the way I would understand that, as opposed to a derabbanan. No, the rabbis actually had to say, this is how we're going to do this, and there was a moment in time when it didn't exist this way, and then there's a moment in time where now it does, the rabbis having been what changed it. There was a hand here somewhere, and then there's Shoshone online. Yeah, Daniel. And then Shoshone.
Why would tefillah fit on this list? Everyone agrees, even according to the Rambam, tefillah once a day is derais, it's still the actual way of doing it, the Shemoneh Esrei. Like, if you miss Marav, Rambam wouldn't say you're about to a mitzvah.
Yes, I don't want to get sidetracked into tefillah. It's a good question, but not for right now. Right, so also, I didn't want to get into the specifics of them. That's why I brought the Marmokomos for you in the bullet points, so that you can actually look it up and see. I didn't want that to become the shiur. We have a lot within Suvos to discuss. Shoshone and then Jeffrey.
Would Staka be on this list because of Matanos Lanim?
Would Staka be on this list? So, the mitzvah of helping other... I want to be careful about how we say this. What we're talking about is where the Torah gives you a value, not a value as a number, but a value, an erech would be the Hebrew term for it, and then the Rabbanan are really giving you the implementation, as opposed to what I think you're talking about with Maaser Ksafim and the idea of one-tenth, where there's a lot of discussion about why we do 10%. Is 10% a neder that society has taken? Is it a minhag? Is it based on Maaser Ani? Like, how to understand that? But I wouldn't view that as the same as this, because there, the core mitzvah really is, give other people money so that they can live. That really is the mitzvah, and the contours are more clear biblically, as opposed to our case of Ksuba, where we see the contours really are not. Jeffrey?
Yeah, so giving power, this applies to the Ksuba and the list over here. How is that conceptually different than a lot of things that are from the Torah, like Olam Mitzvah Malachas? Many of all these rabbinical things that we had fun learning a few years ago.
Right. So the Lamed Tes Malachos are actually based on the Malachos that are in the Mishkan. It's not as though the rabbis do a lot of work in defining that, but they're not giving us the categories, out of whole cloth. It's not as opposed to Shabbaton, on the other hand, where the concept of Shabbaton is preserve an atmosphere of Shabbaton, that's your mitzvah asay, and then it's up to the Rabbanan to determine what exactly that means and how you do it, but nonetheless, Ramban is convinced it's a deoraisa. So I wouldn't include the malachos in the way that works. Idan?
Leman of Kavina, I mean, what's the difference between saying this or saying it entirely from the Rabbanan?
Well, nafkamina would be in terms of framing any aspect of it as a deoraisa. In other words, saying that the definition of a pilegesh is without a ksuba, right?
Why is that practical?
Because
deoraisa, but all the practical.
If your name isn't Rambam, you believe that pilegesh is relevant bisman hazeh.
Oh, yeah, the concept. Okay.
But so not as a concept, as a halacha lemaisa thing. So in the event that a man has kiddushin with a woman, but there's no ksuba. If a man, did I say it the right way?
Yeah.
Kedushin, but without a ksuba, has he created Pilegesh? Or has he created an Isser with Znus, because we say that Kolapoches, Bilasu Bilas Znus.
In terms of all the lands and everything, if we say all the details from the Rabbanu, the concept is from the Raisa, I don't see what, okay, so the concept is from
the... It means that the details have a Raisa Koach to them.
What does that mean?
Meaning that if you veer from it, if you veer from the detail that the rabbi set up, you're not just violating a derabbanan, you're actually violating a deoraisa. Because it's just that because the Torah gave it to the rabbis to define, but it's the Torah's heft behind it. It's not the rabbis inventing the halacha. It's the rabbis implementing the halacha. I would view any of these as deoraisas in that sense. Which is going to get me in trouble on things like muktzah, but that, so it would appear. That seems to be the concept. I mean, this requires more explanation and exploration. This is not a simple thing to just throw out there and just, drop a bomb. But that's exactly what I'm doing. I want to show you how much support there is for this read of Ksuba. First of all, the Tosfos that we just saw, right, with the Mikan Samchu on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I think supports it. But also Ramban is heavily like this, right? The Ramban that we saw last week, which I brought you again in Source Yud Beis, talking about Pilegesh, right? So he first brings you Rashi saying that Pilegesh has no ksuba, and he says it's not true, right? Because ksuba is derabanan. And then the second half of this Ramban in Source Yud Beis. Aval efshar shegam bnei Noach kasher yisu lahem nashim kemishpatan bebeila hayunoagin lichtav lahen mar umatan. It could be when bnei Noach would marry women as they did with beila, they also would write for them. This was a pre-matan Torah practice to write mar umatan. And if they wanted a Pilegesh relationship, they didn't do it. So he's establishing very clearly a possibility. He doesn't say, yes, this is what happened. He says, this could be what happened, that Ksuba was. There was a gift of some kind that was called Mohar, that he would write for her if it was going to be a marriage relationship. And once again, if you take a look, hang on one second, in Source Yud Gimel, I just want to show you the Ramban in a very important comment of his. In the Kaputkia discussion in Ksuvos Kuf Yud, he says, Mehalacha omi dvar Torah, I don't know exactly how to frame that, Mehalacha omi dvar Torah, kol Mohar sheheskimu besach shnehem havi Mohar. Any amount that the two parties agree to, the man and the woman agree to, is mohar. V'asu rabbanan v'tiklam sach masayim dinar inshallahen. And the rabbanan came along and said that should be 200. But the concept of it, what mohar is a number that the man and the woman set up as what's going to be given. And that's the core thing. That's what mohar is. That's the de'oraisa term that we're referring to. Rav Yehuda.
Is that also regarding the other tonight of the ksuba? Because the Ram himself says that we have some tonight of the ksuba for de'oraisa and some are de'rabana.
Yeah.
This goes, I think, goes very well in the Ramban, as Rav says, regarding the amount of money.
Yeah.
It has to be money. How much? The Ram is
the sign. Yeah, I think it only works for the money. I don't think it works for the tonight. I that's what that would be my shita. I think right. So. Yeah.
There's that in the Hill of the Time, just put it up, right? In Ilvuat Botam Acher Maharu. Although here Maharu would be like Khalifi, it would be like changes.
I thought Maharu there was under Maher, no?
No, it's Maharu, it's not Mehar or Maher. It's Maharu here, it says that it's here. But I see there's other also the English translation would say like another.
Do you find any of the, do you have in the Mefarshim there, does anyone actually connect that to Mohar? Because I looked for other mohars, and I thought that I saw that one as being under my hair.
He said, even Ezra says, "Vumi gizrat mahorim arena, asher itkashru el am acher."
Interesting. Okay, so that is one. But he views mohar then as kesher.
As kesher, yeah. As like I'm giving you this.
That's going to be very good. That'll fit very nicely with where we're going with this in terms of kesher. We're gonna that I like that, Ibn Ezra. That's useful. I also brought you Ravidal Kreshkish. One of the Spanish Rishonim. The Spanish Rishonim loved this idea. So I'm just making a note on what Idanid said. Okay, in Source Yadalid, he says, Ein sach haksuba, the part I bolded, Ein sach haksuba mid de'oraisa. The amount for the ksuba is not biblical. Afil man de'is like ksuba de'oraisa, even if you believe ksuba is de'oraisa. Ela shemash nischayev la hu de'oraisa. Just the fact that he is obligated to give it is what is De'oraisa. The amount itself is rabbinic. And this is also what's seen in the Mishnah Melech and Echaz Nara Besula in Source Tesvav. He says, the part that I bolded. He said, I shouldn't race through him. I think I'm going to say it outside of the Mishnah Melech rather than race through the words and say gibberish. He believes that there was a historic practice of mohar. And when the Torah says, mohar yimarena, that's what it means one should give. He connects it to what happens with avadim, where the Torah says that in the event that, as explained in the Gemara, that if an eved comes in with kids, the adon has an obligation to support them. And the problem is that biblically, it's not clear that the father would have had an obligation to support them. Why does the adon have an obligation? And he says, because the practice was that fathers supported their kids, therefore, the Adon had to take that over. And he connects that with Mohar. The practice was that they would do this like what Ramban had been saying, which isn't surprising. He's part of Ramban's school. So you see this idea there as well. Actually, is Mishnah Melech part of Ramban's school? I'm not sure I said that correctly. I'm not sure if that's true. He's much later. No, he's much later. I'm not sure that statement was correct. But The bottom line out of this, and this is definitely Ramban, is that those who say it's de'oraisa don't really mean that it is de'oraisa. That's the idea. Ramban says this in Ksuva Stav Kuf Yud. I brought you the Ran with a very short formulation of it in Sores Tezayin. He is in Ramban school. He argues you don't require kesef de oraisa, even if we happen to use kesef de oraisa. Ela ikr ksuva amar min haTorah midika amrinan the amar kra kimar habesulos. So the upshot is those who say de oraisa don't really mean de oraisa, and those who say de rabbanan don't mean purely de rabbanan, right? Because they'll say it has a biblical root to it. That was Rabbi Rosenzweig's formulation that I liked. He said, those who say de'oraisa don't really mean it de'oraisa, and those who say it's de'rabanan don't really mean it de'rabanan. They're sort of merging towards the middle. And then he added a conceptual framework to it, which is where I like the Ibn Ezra that you pointed out. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a matter of what they emphasize within it. In other words, we could all have the same vision of, like the Ran is saying, Ksuba as a concept is de'oraisa. The number amount is de'rabanan. But now the question is, so which part do I grab onto when I'm trying to legislate, when I'm saying you pay ziburis, when I'm saying that you use the better currency, you know?
That's what we're going to ask next. So the ziburis thing, first we said that if Gamliel would hold that you would have to pay, you wouldn't be able to pay ziburis because he holds de'oraisa.
Yeah. I think what we end up saying, and this goes actually back to the note I gave before about Muktza also, what we're really saying is, this is a fine idea, that there's a biblical root, and the Rabbanan are implementing it. But when it comes to halacha, does that make it a de'oraisa or a de'rabanan? Even though we have sources that say that the concept of Muktza is a de'oraisa concept, but we call Muktza a de'rabanan in halacha. According to at least one opinion. Yeah. Exactly, according to some opinions. Because it's messy. What does this look like in practice? Should we treat it as a de'oraisa or should we treat it as a drabanan? It's neither here nor there. It's a zebra. Right? Is this black or is it white? I don't know.
Yeah.
Correct. I think that would be the way to look at it. So in terms of the idea behind this and what leads us in this direction, so again, here I'm dipping into Rabbi Rosenzweig. Halacha is both pragmatic and idealistic. And it takes a financial obligation and elevates it into a davar shevik dusha. The ksuba is using financial obligations as a way to bring kedusha into marriage. Meaning, the biblical ideal is that marriage should be respectful, marriage should be kadosh, marriage should be where they're committed to each other, as in fact the Rambam presented it, right? When you go back to Hilchos Ishus, Aleph Dalet, which I brought you earlier on the sheet in Source Hay, he talks about the difference where before Matan Torah, they met, they decided they wanted to live together, they lived together, they decided they wanted to break up, and they just broke up. There was no permanence to it. There was no substance to it. With Matan Torah, now suddenly we've got rules. With Matan Torah, we suddenly have obligations. And a great formulation of this is found in the Meiri. If you take a look at Source Yud Zayin, the Meiri in his introduction to Kiddushin, he says, V'enyan hushakoda Matan Torah lo hayalem ishus, elak shadam pogea isha bashuk, etc., etc., as you already are familiar with, we've discussed. And he says, mitoch kach, I'm at the end of the second line, lo haisa emas baal mutelas kokach ala isha shetachosh lemnias avodaso, o listos mitachtav o likvots benedar miderach kasa alav. There wasn't, I'm going to translate it the way he said it, and this has to be discussed at some other point, but the woman had no intimidation from her husband. She had no fear of the husband. But then he says, v'lo haya etzlam kesher chazak be'inyanim elu. There was no strong bond between the man and the woman in these matters. Ela b'yibum, the only thing they had was yibum, she'emuchrach etzlam, below shum pirud, which I assumed meant chalitza, as I wrote in the bracket, l'sibak duma v'munasim b'nyan ha'nefesh. She says they did yibum, they were very serious about yibum because of reincarnation beliefs, and that goes back to a whole debate about where yibum comes from. But one view is, it's a gilgul of the deceased husband, and that's what he's drawing on. He says yibum gave marriage a sense of permanence, in the sense that if the husband died, there actually was going to be some new marriage that was going to result, and they didn't have chalitza, kodem matan Torah. But with Matan Torah, it had strength. Erisin Nisuin, Edim, Ksuba. Ksuba is on that list as giving marriage a Kesher Chazak. That's the formulation. That's why I liked what you had from that Ibn Ezra about Acher Maharu, and Mohar is Lihit Kesher. That actually fits very nicely. But the point is, by having a ksuba payment, shloye kala beinav lahotzia, like we've talked about, we provide the security and respect that she would want in a marriage, and that the Torah anticipates them having. So the core idea is there should be a ksuba, but it's nimser lachachamim to figure out what that amount ought to be. What exactly is this going to be? That's the idea, and now we can understand why ksuba is considered ikur to the concept of marriage. That's why pilegesh, by definition, is without ksuba as well as without kiddushin in Sorsi Yitches, and that's why in Bava Kama Pei Tes, in Sorsi Yitches, we have Rabbi Meir saying, you can't be without a ksuba. It's not okay to be without a ksuba. It prohibits them to each other, because once it's easier to divorce, we're worried it'll be Kalabain of Lahotzia, and in fact, that's already where his head is going to be towards divorce. Yes, Daniel.
Is Mir going in the Rambam? When he says that?
Yes. Kedarko.
The Mir likes the Rambam. The difference I see in the Rambam is, you can also Tchila the 28th, and that's the only, that's...
He's based on the Rambam, but he's expanding beyond.
If that's the doctor, the ksuba, to make an achrayas that they can't leave some, why is he zeroing in on the different Eden, the Rambam?
Well, you could argue that in Sefer HaMitzvos, when he defined Kedesha, he also brought in ksuba, and that the Meiri is seizing on that. Because he did. I'm still bothered by what he does in Nara Basula. Yeah, Michael. Yeah, that was when I was saying it before. Michael makes a valid point that when I said it before about Rav Nachman, that we follow Rav Nachman in Mamonos issues, I was bothered a little bit by it because I'm now painting it as bigger than Mamonos issues. It's true. In a Hanami. It's true. This also explains a strange Yerushalmi. I found this to be a very strange Yerushalmi. Tosfos invoked it in Ksuvas Daf Yud. I brought you the Tosfos here in Source Chaf, talking about paying me Mo's Kaputkia, right? We've said, multiple times in the course of this shir, that the Mo's Kaputkia, in the event they marry in one place, but then the marriage ends in a different place, you go with the inferior currency between the two of them. So Tosfos says, what does it matter? You're giving the same amount of money. It's just going to be in more coins or fewer coins, but it's the same amount of money. He says, Mikomakom Ainosin Lala Shava Nun Shkalam. He's giving her 50 shekel. What does it matter? Vima yinu omim delom tarchlite and lashkalam shom dim sham bekaputkia nun shikle kaputkia uberitzisrael nun shkam sharitzisrael. If you're going to tell me no, it's 50 shekel of whatever the local shekel is, havanecha, that will be fine. Like with Pidyon Haben, and he quotes in the Gemara in Bechoros, the idea that you work with the five slime, whatever a sela is where you are. But he says, miyu en onira, that doesn't appear correct. Because there it was talking about that the slime had been increased everywhere, not that there was, one sela here and one sela over there. And then he quotes to the Yerushalmi, which I brought you the Karban Ha'eda on in Chaf Aleph. The Yerushalmi has Rabbi Muna, we have Chuna, whatever. B'shem Shmuel, B'shekel HaKodesh. It's supposed to be B'shekel HaKodesh. And Rabbi Abba Barbuna, Amar Matbeya Yotze. What are you talking about? So take a look at the Karban HaEden Chaf Aleph. No sein la masayim dinarim kefi matbeya hayotzeis ba'oso makom yiyu kesef o nechoshes. You give, what is Miksuba? 200. 200 what? 200 of whatever your currency is. 200 of whatever your currency is. That's what you're going to give. 200. That makes no sense. Like, it's bizarre. It's a very strange idea that you're just giving 200 whatevers. But it could make sense if the goal is simply to sanctify the marriage. Give 200. And then the 200 watts and what they're going to be equal to and how many sheep they're going to buy or whatever it is becomes less significant. That would be a way to explain this shita in the Yerushalmi. It would also explain what the Rambam is doing with ksuba, in terms of the importance that he places on ksuba, in general. And I brought you the Rambam in Hilchos Ishus in Chaf Beis, where he says if there's no ksuba, it's be'ilas zinus. That would now fit. And it's what the Meiri seemed to be saying when he said kesher chazak, as well. Cause it's really interesting, cause the Meiri rules that if you look in our Meiris with the footnotes, the footnote notes that it's very strange because he sounds like he's saying Ksuba's De'oraisa. He has it on that list of things that happen with Matan Torah, but the Meiri elsewhere paskins, it's De'rabanan. It's all part of this, way of looking at Ksuba. A fascinating application of this, and here I dip back into Rabbi Rosenzweig again. Reading the ksuba aloud after kiddushin at a wedding, right? Why do we read the ksuba aloud? Where does that come from? So it's attributed to Rashi. Tosfos says it's from Rashi. I brought you the Tosfos in Psachim where he notes it at the end of the source there in Chav Gimel, talking about reading the ksuba aloud between kiddushin and nisuin, and tying it into the debate about whether you use one kos for kiddushin and nisuin or two different kosos. So this is brought, and you're going to see it, as a practice that Rashi used to do. That's the earliest source that I am aware of for reading the suba in between kiddushin and nisuin. Obviously, it wasn't done in the Gemara's day, because in the Gemara's day, you had up to a year to get married.
Is it popular here also in Israel to just have a shorter version?
No, they do the long version.
In Israel, many weddings are only the short.
Then their video.
What's
too short.
What's the short version?
I don't want to get distracted. I'm sorry. I have very little time left, and I've got a lot to say. Why are we reading the ksuba between kiddushin and nisuin? So one approach is to say that kiddushin and nisuin are separate practices, and so we read the ksuba as part of highlighting the separation. Tosfos in Pesachim brings this because of the discussion in Arvei Pesachim about Ein Osin Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos, right? They're talking there about a case in which they're benching at a meal on Friday, and then they're going to want to make Kiddush, and to use one kos, and that'll be for benching and for Kiddush, or to use two separate kosos, because these are two separate mitzvos, and Ein Osin Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos, you shouldn't be insulting the mitzvah by taking two different mitzvos and using one kos. For both of them. That's where Tosfos mentions the practice. So he says the same thing is true for Kiddushin and Nisuin. They're two different mitzvos, and therefore two different kosos, and you have the ksuba in between highlighting the separation.
It doesn't have to be ksuba, it doesn't have to be a separation.
Correct. Although why the ksuba, we're going to come back to. But this seems to be Rabbeinu Tam's understanding, as we're going to see shortly, and the Rush in Pesachim there as well, who says, of course, Kiddushin and Nisuin are two separate things. You had a year between them. Like, why would you think that they're the same thing? On the other hand, there's a second idea. And the second idea is that, no, Kiddushin and Nisuin are fundamentally similar. They're rituals that are meant to lead to a marriage. And we read the Ksuba in order to separate them so that there will be no suffix regarding whether I should have one kos or two kosos, one bracha or two brachos. That's the whole point of the ksuba, is in order to separate them. And this is brought by Rabbeinu Meshulam. If you take a look at Source Chav Dalet, Rabbeinu Meshulam, one of the Balei HaTosfos, is asked the question by the Jews of Paris about one kos or two kosos. And he says, "Bebirkas erisin v'nisuin bikos echad." Amarti lifnei Rabbeinu Eliyahu she'ein minag b'malchusenu kiyem b'kos echad. We only do one kos. V'danti b'fnei m'vnei kol chachmei Paris. I said that in front of the Chacham of Paris as well. V'asukein mitam yak nahaz. Just like yak nahaz, right? When Shabbos leads into Yom Tov, Shem Beis Kedushos al Shnei Yamim, Umeachash Hashem Kedusha al Shnei Machzigim Bekedusha Achas V'Chibur Mekos Echad. We're doing Havdalah from one day, Kiddush for the next day, and yet we're using only one kos. Why? Because they're both about Kedusha, and that's good enough. And once they tell you use one kos, you're not allowed to use two kosos, because then you're making a bracha shen etzricha. Mistaber the ikar mitzvah lasos in bekos echad, hol me'inyan echad hu. You should do one kos. The imatem rotzim lamo b'minok beis kosos, take your tzonchem. You want to do two kosos? Do two kosos. Vadayim hayisem noagim k'rabbeinu shlomo lehapsik ulehistalek v'lasok be'inyan acher v'likros b'ksuba v'akach b'rkos nisu. And if you would do what Rashi did, and you would read the ksuba in between, zeh yafamikulam, that would be the best. Because that way, you really make them into two different things. You have the ksuba as an interruption. That's Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Tam was not impressed. And I brought you the polite part of Rabbeinu Tam. You should look in the Sefer HaYashar to see what else he has to say about Rabbeinu Meshulam, and it's not very polite. But what he says here is absolutely not. He says, of course Kiddushin and Nisuin are two different things. And I bolded for you the essential part of that. He says, Koshkin Birkas Erisim and Nisuin Davika Birkas Hamazon V'Kiddush. It's like benching and Kiddush. They need two different brachos, the Mefazron. V'yoser Halukin Hein Mizeh, the Mehen, the Zebebeis Chasan and V'Zebebeis Erisin. You do Kiddushin and Nisuin in two different places. V'Zebechenek V'Zebeskila. There's a different punishment for Arayos after Kiddushin and Arayos after Nisuin. Zemutur B'moed V'Zeaser B'moed. You can do one of them a Chamad. You can't do the other one a Chamad. He says, of course they're two different things. And he says, if you have any doubts, then do as Rashi did with reading the Ksuba. So two different approaches as to why we read the Ksuba. One approach is Kiddushin and Nisuin are separate practices, and we highlight that by reading the Ksuba. Or, no, they're too similar, and they create a suffix regarding the coast, and therefore we use the ksuba to interrupt. But taking the first approach, the idea that they're separate, and we read the ksuba as part of highlighting the separation, I understand if you need it as a separation, so fine. But otherwise, why am I reading a document at a wedding about the disposition of assets in the event of divorce? Right? I mean, you might as well just, get up and read the prenup. Like, what are you doing reading this between Kiddushin and Nisuin? But if the goal of reading the Ksuba is elevating and sanctifying the relationship, then reading the Ksuba aloud makes a lot of sense. You're elevating and sanctifying the relationship by showing the Kesher Chazak that the Meiri talked about. Now, I want to take this bigger picture. Sorry? If the ksuba's point is to strengthen the connection between them, to make sure that this is a real bond and the wife feels secure and respected, then it makes sense. Of course we should read this out of the wedding. It makes a lot of sense, as opposed to anything else that we could do in between. Bigger picture. In terms of the mitzvah of Kiddushin, this goes back to a shiur that I gave. I don't think anyone here was there. Jeffrey might have been there. Any time he was there. I don't know. When we learned Kiddushin in the Beis Medrash back in 2018. Okay, so we talked about the mitzvah of Kiddushin and creating a relationship of Kiddushin. The question was, what is the mitzvah of Kiddushin? I'm not going to go through it, and it's 1123 already, so a lot of these sources I'm just going to skip. But source Chavav, the Gemara says, regarding using a shaliach for Kiddushin, mitzvah ba yoseh mibishlucha. There is a mitzvah for her more than for via a shaliach. That indicates Kiddushin has a mitzvah. The Yerushalmi talks about the bracha, Birkas Erisin, and it says, kol ha-mitzvos to unos bracha b'sha'as ha-siyasan. All mitzvos require a bracha when you do them, and it brings the Yesh Omrim for Kiddushin bebi'ila. That's, by the way, Shane, is one of the supporters for Kiddushin bebi'ah being the De'oraisa, the fact that they specify that. There are other sources that indicate otherwise. It was a hint. That's it. There are other sources that indicate otherwise, that it's not a mitzvah, like Moi Katan Yud Ches Amud Beis, seems to say it's not a mitzvah. But nonetheless, in the Shir then, we came up with 8 different ways to formulate Kiddushin and what could be the mitzvah of Kiddushin. I'm not going to go through it with the sources, but I brought you a couple of the sources along the way. The common read of the Rambam is that Kiddushin itself is an independent mitzvah, because the Torah says Ki Yikach. There actually is an independent mitzvah of Kiddushin. Then you have the antagonist opposite view. There is no mitzvah in Kiddushin. It is simply the way to fulfill Pur Urvu. It gets to Pur Urvu in an appropriate way, therefore it is supporting a mitzvah. That's the Rush in Source Lamed Aleph, who thinks absolutely Birchas HaErusin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all, it's a Birchas Shavach VaHodah, which the language of the Bracha supports, and so on. We had a third approach that the mitzvah is Sheves, Yishuv HaOlam. We had a fourth approach that it's V'davak B'Ishto, that's the mitzvah of Kiddushin. We had another one that it's a mitzvah Kiyumis. It's a good thing to do. It's not an obligation, but if you do it, it is a positive thing to do. We had another idea that Kiddushin helps you to achieve Nisuin, and Nisuin is the mitzvah. That's Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, brought in the Kesef Mishnah, Chos Ishus Aleph Beis. We had a seventh approach, that it's a Lav Haba Michlal Aseh, don't have Bia without Kiddushin, that's the Magid Mishnah. And then the last approach, which we brought, which I was very surprised when I look at my notes to realize was also a Rabbi Rosenzweig idea. I was never in his shir, but his recordings are fantastic. But what he had said, and I quoted back then, is that Kiddushin is a mitzvah in the sense that it's the right way to marry. It's about introducing, once again, Kiddusha into the relationship. Elevating that which could have been informal and could have been very physical into something with laws and rights and sanctity, which fits Birkas HaErusin. The language of Birkas HaErusin, which I thought about going into, but then I realized whoever's giving the daf, that, you know, whoever giving shir when we hit that daf with Birkas HaErusin, we can talk about it then. The language of Birkas HaErusin is bizarre. Although taking it in this way, it actually fits really well. And it fits the Rambam's language on Kiddushin as well. And in fact, the Sefer HaMakneh, which I did bring you in Source Lamed Beis, says, if you take a look in Lamed Beis, Kevin Shehi, the part I underlined, Kevin Shehi Rotzalihi Nasei Le'ish Asur Li'Boyalo Belo Kiddushin Mishum Lo Siya Kedesha Imkein Havia Kiddushin Mitzvah Kamo Mitzvah Shchita V'Afashas Truma V'Shiluach HaKein. If you want to be together, this is a way to do it with Kiddusha. It invests it with Kiddusha. That's the idea. It has more applications. It goes in with the Magid Mishnah on Kiddushim Tiyu in Source Lamed Gimel. We have similar mitzvos that are about creating a particular atmosphere. If you take a look at Source Lamed Dalet, I gave you examples of this. Kiddushim Tiyu is an example of this. A mitzvah of creating an atmosphere of Kiddusha. V'yasisa Hayasher V'Hatov, definitely an example of this. Shabbaton on Yom Tov, which I talked about before, the idea that you create an atmosphere that's appropriate to the day, where the Rambam talks about the fact that you could do many things that are not malacha, that would completely destroy the Shabbaton atmosphere, comes along the mitzvah of Shabbaton and says, don't do them on, in that case, it's Yom Tov. Shemitas Ksafim, since we're reaching that point at the end of the Shemitah year, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah asay of Shamot, that you are supposed to release debt. However, as seen in the Rambam in the Parashah Mishnayos in Shvius, there is no duty to actually say, I am canceling the debt. It's only if the guy comes to you and says, I want to pay, then you're supposed to say to him, this I gave shir on when we did Shvius, I gave shir on this, I guess it was a year and a half ago. So we talked about it then. There is no duty to speak in order to cancel the debt as a general principle. So what is your mitzvah asay of Shamot? It's to create this atmosphere of compassion, and I am not going to collect, much as Rambam says also regarding the mitzvah of Shabbat of Shemitas Karka. The same idea. If you look at the Rambam in Mitzvah Aseh Kuf Lamed Hey, you can see it there. We're at 11:28. So, but the same idea. We have other cases where the mitzvah that the Torah is giving us is meant to create an atmosphere as opposed to instruct an action. And that's the way I look at what we're saying here for Ksuba, as well as the idea regarding Kiddushin. It's to create a certain atmosphere within the relationship. That's where I wanted to go with this. It's 11:29, so I'm just going to take 1 minute to just mention, we say in the Mishnah that the marriage of a Besula is supposed to be on Wednesday. right, in order that he will go to Beis Din on Thursday morning if he is worried that she wasn't a Besula and that maybe there were some Arayos that happened between Kiddushin and Nisuin. So the Ran says, as I brought you in source Lamed, hey, that would seem not to be relevant in our day. We have Kiddushin and Nisuin together. Nothing is happening after Kiddushin before Nisuin. They're on camera the entire time. Not to mention, our Batei Din don't meet on Monday and Thursday. So what, you know, should it be followed Bizmanenu? So Nachla Shiva in Source Lamed Vav says we should try to preserve our customs even if the reason is gone. We still do it. We make Kiddush and Shul Friday night, he thinks. Not every Shul does. Birkas Hadagim. That's Thursday, and the discussion of whether Bir Rishona is Wednesday night or Wednesday is in the Gemara. But he says we generally preserve Wednesdays if we can, and also there's a special benefit that travelers will be able to get home for Shabbos, because they would live far away. However, then he himself says if returning home for Shabbos is not relevant, then they marry on Friday, and the meal from the wedding will double as the Shabbos meal. He says that's what they do, and that was what, as I said last week, the Ramah got in trouble with in Krakow. But they would do that. Sorry?
I was trying to make a joke. They read the ketubah in the middle of the meal to separate between the meal and the
Shabbos. No, because the meal is after. The meal is after. But in fact, Tosfos on Daf Gimel asks how they can get married on Friday if Beis Din doesn't meet on Shabbos. And he gives two answers. One answer he gives is they didn't have a kavua Beis Din. But also he says no one actually does this whole complaining about Pesach Pasol Matzasi and bringing Edom anyway anymore. So he says that's okay, we can get married on Friday. All right, God willing, Rabbi Mann will give shir next Friday. Have a good Shabbos.